Hey church, Pastor Adam here. I wanted to say thank you for stopping by for Church Online today. And while we're super excited that you're hanging out with us for this message, we also want to remind you this is just supplemental and it should not and cannot replace the local church in your life. So while we hope today's message shapes and encourages and challenges you exactly where you're at, we also know that we can't be the substitute for the local body. In fact, we believe the church is God's plan A for reaching the world. So if you're in Paducah one Sunday morning, come join us in person for rest. But if not, go and find a local Bible-believing, Jesus-preaching church near you and get plugged in. Jesus loves the church, and we love Jesus, and we believe we can better serve Jesus if we're locally connected, serving her well. So, welcome to Rest.
Good morning, Rest Church. We hope you all are staying warm and bundled up wherever you guys are tuning in from. We want to thank you for tuning in to our remote service this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Caleb. I'm one of the pastors here at Rest Church, and we just want to say thank you for tuning in and joining us this morning. All the snow we've gotten over the past few days is crazy. I have mixed feelings about the snow. On the one hand, it's a nice opportunity just to stay home and chill out and relax. On the other hand, it reminds me of the spare room that's in my apartment. Does anyone have like a junk drawer or a spare room in their house where you just throw everything that doesn't have a home and forget about it? That's what the spare room in my apartment is like. Since we've moved in, my wife and I, we've just put all the stuff that we don't have a home for in that room. And we haven't gotten around to cleaning it up and straightening it yet. So the snow reminds me that I'm home and have all this time, and I still need to do that. Am I going to? Probably not. But if you grew up like me, then you probably grew up believing that when it comes to the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is kind of like that spare room or that junk drawer. It's a space we all acknowledge is there, but that it's just thrown together haphazardly. It's kind of like God has a junk drawer, and that junk drawer just happens to be the book of Psalms. I really don't know where I got this idea that the Psalms are just 150 poems that were randomly stitched together to make what we know as the Psalms today, and that there wasn't an intentional structure to them. But over time, I've learned that the opposite is true. Our God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. And both in His Word and in our lives, He has this amazing habit of taking what we think of as junk drawers and showing us that there is order and beauty in them. And instead of leaving our junk drawers alone, He steps into them, and by His grace and in His power, He molds them and shapes them into a beautiful picture that gives us in our lives direction when everything feels scattered. You see, when the Psalms are closely examined, we realize that there is an intentional organization to them and that the placement of each psalm matters. But don't think for a second that this is just about how God brings order to chaos. The Psalms also show us that God remains faithful to us again and again. And if you're anything like me, there are probably multiple places in your life where there's a junk drawer or a spare room that needs to be cleaned up and reorganized. So if you're new to Rest or you haven't been with us in a while and you're wondering why are we even talking about the Psalms today out of all the things we could be talking about? We're talking about the Psalms because we've been going through Psalm 27 for the past few weeks. In fact, you could call this week 3.5 of our series through Psalm 27. And since we had to cancel in-person service today, we figured this would be the perfect time to give kind of an overview and a broad framework for the Psalms, just a couple quick things that you can be thinking of whenever you read this book. That's why today, what we're going to see is that throughout the Psalms, God's faithfulness in the past gives us reason to have hope in the future. Let me say that again. God's faithfulness in the past gives us reason to have hope for the future. So I'm going to pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the technology that we have to be able to do something like this and not have to risk our safety to come here in the snow and ice, and that we can tune in and stream our service and reach more people that way than we would be able to just having in-person service. I ask that you would speak to all of us today and that you would help us see the wonder and the beauty and the structure of the Psalms and how your faithfulness in the past is what leads us to have hope for our future, and that like the rest of your word, the Psalm books point all the way through to you and the work that you did for us on the cross. Please bless this time of studying your word. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So I've been married for a few months now. And if there's one thing that I've learned over the past 5.5 years, my wife and I have been together, is that one of the best ways to have a strong relationship is to make sure you stay faithful to each other, even when things are hard and difficult. This faithfulness shows up in all sorts of ways. For example, we have a mailbox outside of our apartment that you need a key to open. I don't know if anybody else has a mailbox like that, but they are the most annoying thing on the planet to deal with. If you lose your key, you got to make sure you use your wife's key. If you forget about that and go downstairs, there's no point going back up because you got to leave. It's just a hassle. Well, a few weeks after getting the key to our mailbox, we got two keys, one for me, one for my wife. I lost mine, so I didn't check the mail as much as I should have been. Eventually, my wife asked if some things she had been waiting on had come in. She was trying to get her last name changed over on some stuff for school and work. And the things that she needed to be able to do that were coming in the mail, and we were waiting on them. And it was then that I realized, oh no, I had not checked the mail in a while, and I was letting it fall through the cracks. So what I decided was I needed to be more faithful in that. And so I took my wife's key and I put it on my keychain. And now I open the mailbox almost every day. I'm not perfect in it, but I do it almost every day. And unfortunately, it's mostly bills. But unlike me, when it comes to God's faithfulness, we don't have to worry about whether or not God is checking the mail or even paying attention to us. Because Psalm 1 reminds us that He always is, and that God is always faithful to us. This is why I want to show you today that Psalms 1 and 2 are not accidental, but they are intentionally placed where they are to serve as the introduction to the book of Psalms. These two poems give us our main themes that will come up over and over again throughout the book. Starting off with Psalm 1, Psalm 1 talks about the one who meditates on the law of God being blessed. The law of God that it's talking about is the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all of my youth kids just covered their ears for that one, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books were and are the most important books for the Jewish people. The Jewish people order their lives by the first 5 books in the Old Testament and strive to follow them as perfectly as they can. They're also the most important because throughout the law, we see God's faithfulness to His people. Especially when you read the book of Numbers and the middle section of the book of Exodus, you see that over and over again, God is faithful to his people, even when they don't really want anything to do with him. And this is one of the reasons why Psalm 1 wants us to meditate on the law of God. Now, that idea of meditating, it can be confusing if you don't know what it means. The reason for this is because biblical meditation is very different from that, you know, Eastern sort of meditation that most of us are probably more familiar with. You see, in Eastern meditation, the goal is you want to completely empty your mind of all thought in order to reach a new plane of existence. In contrast to that, with biblical meditation, the goal is to think deeply on Scripture and reflect on it. The purpose of biblical meditation is to help us know and remember who our God is. Think about a cow chewing its cud. You know, a cow doesn't just swallow its food once. It brings it up multiple times and continues chewing on it so that way it can fully digest it. And that's what the idea of biblical meditation is. We want to continuously chew on God's word and keep bringing it into our minds. See, when you fill your mind with Scripture and continually come back to it, and when you do this with the law especially, you'll find yourself seeing God's faithfulness repeatedly. And let me just encourage you, the more time I spend coming back to Scripture, the more of an appreciation and love I have for the God who inspired it. This kind of meditation, it's similar to checking your mail, but in this time, you're getting a check instead of a bill. We are to meditate on the law to be blessed. Now, when we meditate on the law regularly and consistently, it changes us as well as blesses us. But that idea of blessing, it leads into one of the ways that the Psalms can be divided up. There's many different ways to order and structure the Psalms. This is just one of the most broad ones. The Psalms are, each Psalm is either a praise or a lament. So a praise is a positive declaration of who God is and what he has done or will do, or sometimes it's both in the same psalm. A praise is when good things happen in your life. You know, you get a raise at work, you get married, or, you know, for me especially, it's when gas falls below $3 a gallon. It's when you want to express your joy and your excitement and celebrate something. But on the other hand, laments are the opposite of praises. They're very negative. Laments look at the evil in the world or in me, and they express confusion or sadness or even anger over the situation. You know, laments are when you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, or you can't pay your bills on time, or your hopes for the future get destroyed, or you're on an empty tank and gas is $3.20 at every pump you see. This is what makes the Psalms so honest and helpful for us. Our God is a God who wants us to bring him both our joy and our pain. Whether or not everything in our lives is going well or nothing in our life is going well, our God is a God who sees us and wants to experience that with us. Praise gives a voice to our joy, and lament gives a voice to our pain. God wants us to be able to express both to him. And always remember, both praise and lament are ways that we can stay connected with the faithful God that we serve. The Psalms are a consistent reminder that being blessed doesn't mean our life is perfect, but it means that we know where we can bring whatever life throws at us. Because God's faithfulness in the past gives us hope for the future. Now, when you look at the Psalms, you'll notice they are divided into five books. This is to symbolize the five books of the law. Remember from a couple minutes ago, these books were and are the most important books for the Jewish people. You can summarize the five books as the following. Book one is the foundation of God's covenant faithfulness. Book two is the hope for the messianic kingdom. Book three is the hope for the Messiah after the exile. Book four is the God of Israel as king of all creation. And book five is the songs of ascent and poems of praise. Book five is where they begin looking forward more to the messianic kingdom and praising God for it as if it is already in existence. Remember, our God is a God of order and intentionality. And the interesting thing about this fivefold division is that the first three books are mostly laments, while the last two are mostly praise. If you remember that J curve we've been talking about for the past couple months, the book of Psalms can be considered as one big J curve. They go down and then they go back up. This should remind us that our God does not want us to ignore the evil that's in the world or the bad things that we experience. But what He does want us to do is not brush it away or pretend like it doesn't exist. Rather, He wants us to acknowledge it and to process it. In fact, one of the things that I really love about the Psalms is that they cover the vast range of emotions that we as humans experience. They don't rush past lament. Instead, they give space for it. But the Psalms also show us that God is always moving us somewhere. And over time, in the Psalms, lament morphs into trust, and trust is the foundation for praise. And this is what we see constantly all throughout the Psalms. Lament always becomes praise. That's why there are more praises than there are laments in the Psalms. So that means whatever we go through, there's probably a psalm for it. But the neat thing about all this is that our God wants to turn our laments into praise. One of the reasons that lament can turn into praise is because of Psalm 2. Psalm 2 shifts our focus from what God has done to what God would come to do. Psalm 2 introduces us to the character of God's anointed. The anointed here is the king God will raise up to conquer the nations and rule over them forever. He came to be known to the Jews as the Messiah. This is important because it shows us the Messiah doesn't ignore suffering, but He enters it, bears it, and ultimately He overcomes it. So Psalm 1 looks back to what God has done in the past, and Psalm 2 looks to the future to what God will do. And we constantly see these themes play out in the Psalms, sometimes in the same Psalm. There is a constant looking back to look forward, because God's faithfulness in the past gives us reason to hope for the future. But what do we do when we can't do either? Because not every psalm ends hopefully like a Hallmark movie. In fact, Psalm 88 is the darkest psalm that there is. The psalm literally ends by saying, "Your wrath has swept over me, your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long, they close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me, my companions have become darkness." And can we just be honest with ourselves for a minute that sometimes that is exactly how our lives feel? Sometimes it feels like there is no hope for us. And if that is you today, let me just say to you that there is good news for you. And the reason there is good news for you is because of the one that the Psalms are all about. Remember the character of God's anointed. The whole Psalm book is about the Messiah who we know as Jesus. It all points to Him or reflects Him in some way or another. And because God the Son added humanity to his deity and came into this world as a man, and because he went through all the darkness that the Psalms talk about, he can identify with us in our pain, and he knows what we go through. Hebrews 4:15 reminds us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And because that great high priest died on a cross in order to buy our redemption, we don't have to stay stuck in Psalm 88. Let me just encourage you that there is hope in Jesus. Because the neat thing is, while Psalm 88 ends in hopelessness and despair, this is how Psalm 89 starts. "I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 89 is a constant reminder that even in the darkest moments of our lives, there is hope right around the corner. And if you're listening to me right now, and you'd say you're not a believer, you haven't put your faith in Christ, it would be wrong of me to end this without inviting you to become a believer in Christ. God has put a call out to everyone to come to himself. And the choice of whether or not you accept Jesus is the most important one that you can make. Jesus is the only hope we have in this life and in the life to come. It's either him or it's nothing. And let me tell you, he is faithful. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. All throughout the scriptures, we see this, that our salvation is based on our faith in Christ and not anything we can contribute. And I want to invite you to place your faith in Christ today if you have not already. That invitation is always open. Our God stands ready to welcome you into his family. And if you're listening to this and find yourself in a spot where you don't believe, I just want to encourage you to get with God and ask yourself, why not? That's the only thing you need to ask. Why do you not believe? Go to God with whatever is holding you back, and I am confident that he has the answer to any objection you have to him. God's faithfulness in the past gives us reason to have hope for the future. Now, to the believer watching right now, if we are in Christ, then we can say along with David in Psalm 27 that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Always remember, when life feels hopeless, look backwards to what God has done for you and his bride in the past, and look forward to what he has promised to do in the future, and remember that our God is a faithful God. And my encouragement to all of you is, read through the book of Psalms. Just start to front to back. Start with Psalm 1, end with Psalm 150. And as you're reading them, every time you get done with a psalm, stop and reflect on, how does this point me to the Messiah, God himself, who is Jesus? So I'll pray, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Lord, thank you for your word and the beauty and the structure of it. Thank you that no part of it is meaningless and that there's not a wasted word in it. Thank you for allowing us the ability to study it and comprehend it. We pray that you would lead us all into a deeper knowledge of the Psalms and of who you are through studying them. We ask that everybody stay safe during this cold weather and that it will be over quickly and there would be minimal damage to anything important. We ask these things in your name. Amen.